Well, greetings, and welcome to the show. This is Wrong Place, Right Crime. I am your host, Frank Zaffiro, and we are in the middle of a retrospective 12-episode series celebrating a grifter song. Now, if you're not sure what a grifter song is, let me tell you. It is a novella anthology series that I created, edited, and contributed to for Down and Out Books. It features 35 episodes, 30 different authors writing about Sam and Rachel, a pair of grifters who love each other and the game, and the rest of the world maybe not so much. Every episode is penned by a different author, takes place in a different location, features a different con, and certainly a unique style that that author brings in terms of voice and point of view and everything else. We are celebrating all 35 episodes by going over each of them, three books per podcast episode. We've already done 1 through 14. In this episode, we're going to do books 15, 16, and 17. Now, book 15 is The Rule of Thirds, written by Matt Phillips. Book 16 is The Down and Out, written by Lawrence Maddox. And book 17 is Travel Money by Jonathan Brown. All of these books, indeed the entire series, is published by Down and Out Books. You can find out more about them at downandoutbooks.com, all one word. And I want to say thanks to them for being the landing pad for this series and for sponsoring this podcast retrospective. Well, let's move right into book 15, The Rule of Thirds, written by Matt Phillips. Now, Matt is a San Diego-based author who's written a number of novels. People like to compare writers to famous writers, you know, out of a sense of hyperbole and marketing and everything. But in this case, if you were to compare Matt Phillips to Elmore Leonard, you would not be far off the mark. He has the same spare style, the same ability to write succinctly in a way that says way more than the actual words on the page, if that makes sense. And he does an excellent job of capturing the locale, which in many cases is San Diego, or in the case of The Rule of Thirds, is Tijuana, Mexico. So, I met Matt, I think, for the first time in St. Petersburg at a VoucherCon mystery conference. That was the first one I'd ever gone to. I hadn't gone to a conference in about 4 years, and I'd only been to a couple ever, but I had some titles with Down and Out Books at the time, and that is really close. They're based in Clearwater, I believe, so that's their backyard. And Eric Campbell of Down and Out Books said, "Hey, man, you got to come. I mean, you know, it's our backyard." And so I said, "Yeah, for sure. Let's do it." Came down, had a spectacular time, met Dana King for the first time, met Terrence McCauley for the first time, a bunch of other people for the first time, met Sean Cosby that trip. It was wonderful. And one of the cool things about it was that Down and Out Books hosted an offsite party. Basically, they took over a small bar for Down and Out authors to come. And so I went over to that and met a bunch of other Down and Out authors, many of whom have been on the show since then, many of whom have been contributors to A Grifter Song. There's a great story about that night that Matt and I talk about in the episode in which I interview him for Wrong Place, Right Crime. Matt's a cool guy and fun to be around and is a very thoughtful writer. He definitely thinks the craft, and that's very apparent in The Rule of Thirds. What I liked about The Rule of Thirds was that Matt was writing it, and his style is unlike anyone else's that had been in the first 14 outings. And then he placed it in Tijuana, and that is Mark, if you will, was a budding filmmaker. So that was something different as well. But it also had a tie back to The Movie Makers, which Gary Phillips wrote episode 4. So there was a lot to like about it. He's going to tell you a few more things that I also liked about it. In fact, let's just get right into that. I've talked enough already. Let's hear what Matt Phillips has to say about his episode of A Grifter's Song, Book 15, The Rule of Thirds. So, hey, Matt, we are on the floor here at VoucherCon, as the listeners can probably no doubt hear the buzz behind us, and standing next to each other,
Once again, reminded how tall you are. and I'm reminded of a bit of fun we had in St. Petersburg at that BoucherCon, visiting our friend, the slightly older lady.
slightly older lady through the secret door there in the bar.
Into the museum to get our picture taken with a mummy. But that is another story. Folks can actually hear that on, I'm pretty sure we talked about that when you were on the podcast for your own episode.
Yep, you did.
We're here though to talk about the rule of thirds, your episode of A Grifter Song. What made you say yes to that invitation?
Yeah, that's a great question. I mean, getting to know you, of course, mummy or not, and then your work, I think just having respect for the series creator and knowing that the characters are meaningful and that the story arc is going to be good. That's why I wanted to do it. And I was, fortunate to be asked. So that's how I came to it.
You set yours here in the San Diego area and in Tijuana, which is not far south of here.
Yep.
What inspired your story? Was this something that you came up with strictly for the anthology for the series? Or were there parts of it that had been brewing for a while?
Yeah, that's another good question. So I think when I looked at the Bible for the series, I wanted to introduce a character to the story arc that was my own creation, and also that I think highlighted Sam and Rachel, right? So how can I do that? And in my story, it follows a young filmmaker named Billy Jake who wants to make a documentary. He's sort of a green filmmaking kid, just got out of film school. And I thought that Sam and Rachel could really give him some quote-unquote mentorship in the form of a con. And I thought that idea was pretty cool. I also stole a little bit from Elmore Leonard. He's got a great novel called Djibouti, which is about a filmmaker. And then I have a lot of experience with filmmaking and working in film festivals, meeting independent filmmakers. So I thought it'd be a cool way to, to write a character around that. So that's where it comes from.
Well, when I interviewed another author, Jim Wilski, for this series, I asked about what other episodes you may have read and if any were a personal favorite. He singled yours out immediately and wanted me to make sure and pass on that you've got a new fan in Texas of him. And your title, A Rule of Thirds, actually sent him to Google to do a little detecting to understand what it was. And so you framed the story around that quite a bit. But the series had a rule book that came with it. And there's some flexibility there, but there were a few thou shalt nots and so forth. How was that to work within that?
Yeah, I think it's really interesting. So first, thanks to Jim. He represents a significant percentage of my readership. So I hope he stays well. I think that writers need to understand how to work with form and structure. And, you know, as far as form and structure, when you look at like poets, they're always working within some kind of form and structure. And you know, the work has its own logic. So I don't look at it like limitations or rules or even a guide. I look at it as the logic that the story has built within that universe or that set of characters. And so to me, in this case, I was operating within your logic. And I need to sort of ingratiate myself into that. And it actually made me more creative in some ways. So it was a great experience. It was incredibly well organized. I think it was maybe one of the best formal professional writing experiences that I've had. I felt like I was in a writer's room for a little bit, even though we weren't in a physical room. And so, you know, it was really validating, I think, as a professional writer, to be honest.
Well, I'm really glad to hear that. That makes it all worthwhile, for sure. I don't normally ask this question. This is off script, so to speak. But, you know, the title of your story is A Rule of Thirds. That somewhat dictated the form that your story took as well. Maybe you could really quickly explain that to the reader, how that ties in.
Yeah, definitely. So the rule of thirds is essentially a photography set of principles in which you divide the viewfinder into three thirds, and then where those intersect, you have points of interest, right? And that's where you want to center your subject and your frame. It applies to filmmaking as well. There's also another way it applies, which I'll talk about in a second. But for the story, the first third, the second third, the final third. And the idea was, what are the points of interest, right? So I had some fulcrum points for the plot and the story, and that's how I structured it. Again, going back to structure, right?
Right.
Looking at the logic of my own creation within yours, by that logic, what is the story telling itself it wants to be? And then, you know, there's also another rule of thirds with filmmaking, if you ever made any films, which is that however long you think something will take, multiply it by three. And so in this case, I wanted to take this story and say, whatever the impact of what Sam and Rachel do, it's going to impact him three times down. You know, it's going to be threefold. And so I tried to build that in a little bit. But yeah, that's kind of where it comes from.
Was there anything about Sam or Rachel that you found intriguing or that you liked or that just was something you wanted to explore?
Yeah, absolutely. So I think the characters are very well drawn. I think the relationship between them is what's most interesting to me. You know, I love that what I saw as a love story being built somewhat on this sort of, I guess I'd call it like a sexy criminal life, being on the run. That's a huge element. I think I'd love to write on the run novel. That's great, and I haven't done it yet. So this was an opportunity to dive into that. So yeah, that's probably the most interesting piece of it for me.
Was there a favorite part of your episode?
I think the first bit, like the first chapter, I had this character, and my thing was like, he's gonna meet Rachel, she's gonna reel him in, and she's gonna use the things he loves to do it. And having that done through dialogue, I thought was, I wrote that first bit and I thought, oh, I'll be able to finish. Let me dig into this. And so, yeah, that was it.
Have you read any of the other episodes? And any of them jump out as favorites to you if you have?
Yeah, I think for me, I really want to pick the Down and Out by Larry Maddox. Lawrence Maddox, I think, is how he goes by on his books. This is what I liked about it. I liked the writing. I liked the story. But I also liked that there was some continuity in content between my episode and his. Basically, that one's set in Hollywood. It's a different type of con, but it's still within the film industry a bit. So I like that part of it. He's also got another book called Fast Bang Booze, which is really good. I read a couple years back. And I want to add something to this, which is that I haven't got to this final season yet, so it's backed up on my list, but I'm looking forward to James D.F. Hanna's book. There's some others there that I'm really excited about. Curtis Ippolito, that just came out. The thing is, Frank, all these writers are who I think are the best in the noir game right now, and they're not all popular novelists, and that's what's so cool about it, is you're seeing professional, utmost level writers working on this story, and you might not know who they are yet. That's my answer.
So you kind of made reference to the last season there, and having spent time with Sam and Rachel, having read other books in the series, having a real grasp on the mythos of the entire thing, how would you decide to end it?
This is such a hard question. I was in, you know, thinking about how this can and should end. There's multiple answers there. I think for me, look, if I'm being honest, they're not my characters. I'm part of this, part of their journey, so I think it's up to you. Into the Dying Sun is a great title, so that tells you something, I think. Whatever the story dictates it wants for itself, that's how I'd want to see it end. I can't predict.
Fair enough. So this is not the only thing you've written, obviously. You've got novels and stories outside of this. What's the most recent thing you've written or have coming out? And where can people find out more about Matt Phillips?
Sure. Thanks for asking. So my next novel comes out November 1st of this year, 2023. It's called A Good Rush of Blood.
Ooh, good title.
It's a neo-noir, a sweaty neo-noir, part erotic thriller. And that comes out from Run Amok Books. On the Run Amok Crime imprint. You can go to runamokbooks.com, check it out. Pre-order link coming sometime in October there. You can also follow me on Twitter. It's at mrphil25 with two L's. And there's, you know, I've got all sorts of links on that too.
Well, Matt, I wanted to say that I really appreciated the enthusiasm that you brought to this project when it was your turn to write an episode. It was contagious. There's a reason why you were the first in the season for your particular season. You're a good leadoff batter for sure. It's a great story, and I appreciate you being part of this retrospective as well.
Hey, Frank, thanks for creating these amazing characters, story arc. It's been really cool. I'm excited to see how it ends.
All right. Well, thank you, Matt, for your take on your experience in writing The Rule of Thirds, book 15 of A Grifter's Song. As you could no doubt hear, Matt pays a lot of attention to craft, and it's always fascinating to talk to him about writing and about the different elements that go into it. I had a great time working on this episode with him. Our discussions about his story were fun, and it was neat to see him take Sam and Rachel places that they hadn't been yet. And that happens once again in episode 16, The Down and Out by Lawrence Maddox. Now, Lawrence Maddox is an editor, much like Eric Buettner edits for television. Lawrence does film and television editing. He has some great stories. I interviewed him about his own work and about this episode of A Grifter's Song in greater detail. So if you do a quick name search on the podcast website, you'll see his episode. He has some great stories, including a movie star who tried to punch him. And I'll just let you find it when you listen to his episode. It's pretty cool. His episode, Down and Out, is really two separate stories happening at once, because Sam and Rachel get separated for a while. And so while he explores the film industry a bit, and The Con is a callback of sorts to The Movie Makers, episode 4 that Gary Phillips wrote, and he does that, you know, with authority given his background. I mean, there's no question he knows what he's talking about and has insider knowledge. But there's a secondary storyline that takes place with Sam, and I will let him share that in a moment or two here when we get to his interview. But this was an interesting way to approach the format. I mean, usually Sam and Rachel are pretty much together. Been a few times where they've done things separately, but not quite as much as they do in this episode. So watch for that when you read it. A lot of cool film references. Again, much as Gary Phillips was able to do in his episode due to his experience, Lawrence just really captures the Hollywood vibe, and it's a different angle of that than Gary Phillips did, but just as powerful. I also want to say that when I interviewed Larry, he was gracious enough to hang on and answer about 8 billion questions I had, as, you know, somebody who used to dream of the written and directed by me sort of career in Hollywood as a young man. So he was very gracious about that, and is a really good guy. So let's hear from that really good guy, Lawrence Maddox, and his experience writing The Down and Out, episode 16 of A Grifter's Song. So let's just jump right to it, Lawrence. The invitation to be part of A Grifter's Song, what made you say yes to that?
Well, honestly, Frank, I heard that you don't take rejection easily. You know, I didn't think I really had the choice. Okay. All right. Well, I had a lot of great reasons. I don't remember now how I first heard of A Grifter's Song, but I think maybe it was from Gary Phillips. And he was just talking to me about his story, the Movie Makers. And he was telling me about some of the other people involved. And it was like him. And he told me about Eric Pruitt and maybe Eric Buettner and Holly West, just some incredible people. And I thought, man, I would love to be a part of that. And I thought I could bring something original to it. And so when you invited me, I was pretty excited.
Yeah, you definitely expressed that when we were talking. And that kind of excitement is infectious. So I was excited for your story because of that. And then it was also kind of exciting because we were talking prior to starting the tape here about your profession as an editor there in Hollywood, and you brought that experience to this story.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, really, it's funny how I viewed this so cinematically. I felt like the way you set it up, it felt like a 70s movie to me. It felt nitty and gritty. You had two great characters, and it just felt like I was working on, even though I was writing a story and it's literary, it also felt like I'm sort of, in a way, I was thinking about it in the terms of a movie, a 70s movie.
Yeah, it plays that way. I could see that bled through for sure. you know, with your background as a as an editor in film, you were telling me before, sometimes you get a lot of notes, sometimes you don't get hardly any. You got some notes on this book, right, ahead of time. Like, there were rules in place. There were foul lines that the flag would fly if you crossed them. Was that like having to do that in your editing gig, you know, having to stay on script? Or was it, you know, more constrictive? Was it easier?
Well, I loved it. I love starting out with the universe and the rules and the characters that were already well established. And if I remember right, I had to write a premise and sort of an outline just so you would know what I was going to, how I was going to approach it. And you had to, you gave me a lot of pointers, and I felt right away, this is going to be good. I already like this. You were telling me everything you liked about it, and you were honest and straightforward. And that's the best type of people I love to work with. In the editing room, it's like just people who don't really know, or they're vague. You were never vague. And I really appreciated that. And also, you know, having read all the books leading up to my story, I felt I had a good grasp of that world. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Starting with and all those, I felt like I really got it, and I got those characters. And yeah, you're right. I mean, look, it's my job. I work in close proximity with writers and producers and directors, and the bad ones, they can make your life miserable, Frank. And the good ones, you know, the good ones can make you want to get up in the morning and give them your best. And I felt like you're a great collaborator, and all the way through. And I had notes, and you said, I love this, Larry, but this, I think I got to pull you back in a little bit, or all those notes process. I loved it because you always gave me crystal clear direction about where you wanted to go and where you thought I should go.
Well, you went with a story that was kind of poignant in places. It had a little heart to it, too, because of a relationship between Sam and a memory that he had of a relationship. And that tied to something personal for you, if I remember.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. Well, that was also just also ties in with working with you. Even though you had this universe set up, you let me tool around with Sam's backstory a little bit, and you let me explore maybe how he grew up and create this character who was his uncle, who ended up hitting hard times and losing everything and becoming homeless. And really, I was patterning a lot of that after my uncle Patrick, who I remember as a kid became homeless. He had a horrible alcohol problem, and he lost his family, he lost his house, and he would hang out and panhandle. He was the only guy in my town, Highland Park, who was a panhandler, really. There weren't a lot hanging around. And he hung out in front of Bob's Book and Card Shop, which was my favorite place to go because they sold comic books and all the action adventure books there. And I would go down there and sometimes be like, oh man, that's my uncle. And if I was with my friends, I'm ashamed to say it now, but I was embarrassed. Flat out homeless guy. His clothes were tattered. He looked a mess, often drunk. But yeah, Sam's uncle, Uncle Gene, was based on my Uncle Pat.
Well, I really like that little twist, that addition to the lore. And that is in the middle of a story that had quite a few very likable moments, which leads me to my next question, which was, did you have a favorite moment in the story?
Yes. Yeah, I have a couple moments like that. I'm really proud of the moment when Rachel is confronted by the TV editor's fiance, Lynn. As you can tell with this story, I borrowed a lot from real life. There's a TV editor character who's, well, I'm not a degenerate gambler, but this character is, but I am an editor. And this character is a degenerate gambler TV editor, and he's kind of a pathetic figure. And Rachel is just using and abusing him just to further the grift. And he's really, I felt sorry for him when I was writing him. But all that kind of comes to a stop when his fiance Lynn shows up. She's this tough as nails Los Angeles Unified School District high school teacher. And she's smart and she's hard ass. And it was fun creating a moment where Rachel actually, I felt, met her match with this high school teacher. And how she kind of rescues her slimy fiance boyfriend, who she's about to break up with anyway, and kind of gets him a little bit out of Rachel's clutches.
That's such a neat dynamic, because, I mean, here she is. She's going to dump him anyway, probably, but she still does it. You said you had a couple, though. Was there another one that you wanted to mention?
Oh, Yeah. Yes. I hope this isn't a spoiler alert. But I'm also, listen, I feel like there's a real haunting moment at the end when Sam and Rachel are on Skid Row. Sam spends some of the course of the book as homeless himself and sort of experiencing some life down on the down and out. And so he's befriends this homeless former
stuntman.
Stuntman, right. Thank you. Who's a drug addict. And Sam wants to do something for him to help him at the end of the story. And I can't really say any more, but I feel like it's for me, it was a poignant moment.
Well, those are a couple of great moments from your book. You mentioned, though, that you had read some of the other episodes. Now, you know, people ask me what my favorite one is. Of course, that's like trying to pick your favorite kid in a way. But some of them had to stand out more than the rest for you. Were there any episodes that you just were wowed by?
You know, that's a tough question. That's a dangerous question because I'm friends with a lot of them. I don't want to leave somebody out because there are so many good ones, but I think it's safe. I think I'm safe narrowing it down to two. Since I'm kind of writing an unofficial sequel, but it's an official sequel because I got Gary's blessing, but it's really, I'm continuing like a part two of The Movie Makers that Gary Phillips wrote. And it takes place in Gary's takes place in Hollywood. And I just love the way he set up Hollywood and I loved his scam and working in Hollywood. It was easy for me to carry on with some of those characters and just hit the ground running. You know, I worked on all the major studios. I know how they work. And so setting the story up that takes place in a major movie studio, knowing the ins and out was allowed me not to have just to begin the story. I already know that world. And so I'd have to say definitely Gary's The Movie Makers, but also look, when I first read yours, volume one. You had everything there. When I finished it, I was like, okay, that's the world. Those are the characters. This is their dilemma. This is what's got to happen. I liked your score. Your grift wasn't this huge, like Mission Impossible grift. It was very down to earth grift where they were going to make a good, tidy score, but it wasn't something that was going to be that allow them to retire from grifting. They're going to have to continue. And so I think I'm safe to say those two really stand out for me.
So yeah. how should the Sam and Rachel's saga end? How would you write that?
Well, my answer is really colored by this book that I've just recently read, Quentin Tarantino's book, Cinema Speculation. He talks a bit about in that book how films, especially crime films in the late 60s and early 70s, mid 70s to up to, but not just crime films, but films could not have a happy ending. Those 70s films always had to end in some bleak way. People had to die. I'm thinking like of films like Friends of Eddie Coyle, which is just so bleak.
Chinatown.
Yeah, exactly. And so since I see this series really through like any good 70s shot on 35mm film, I just see Sam and Rachel getting killed at the end. I see that they're everything finally catching up to them. And they buy it at the end. I think the thing I love most about those characters is that they're is probably their relationship. Right. So I think they go down together. Or I think if Sam goes down first, Rachel gets some sweet revenge. And maybe she survives and maybe she doesn't. And then the film burns up like the end of Two Lane Blacktop. But that's how you do that in a book. So I don't know how you do
that. That would be tough. Well, this has been great hearing about the down and out and getting some inside information on it from you. But this is not the only thing you've done, right? You've got some other work out there. So what's your most recent project and where can people find out more about Lawrence Maddox?
Oh, well, thank you for asking. I appreciate it. Well, look, I'm really excited actually about this short story upcoming out. I'm going to be in an anthology called Murder Neat, and all the stories take place in drinking establishments, something I'm sure us crime writers know very little about.
Yeah, that's foreign territory there. I don't know how, is this science fiction you're writing or what?
So the anthology is edited by Barb Goffin and Michael Bracken, uh-huh. who are really talented authors in there. And it's going to be published by Level Best.
What's your story called?
It's called Deep Time. And it's a straight up crime story, but there's also a little bit of interesting elements like time travel in it.
So it's science fiction.
It is or it's not. I'll let it decide. So that when that's exactly is coming out, I'm not sure. Everything's written and it's done. I don't know when they're going to release it. Maybe soon. And I guess to find out more about Lawrence Maddox, that's me. You can look me up at Maddox Books at WordPress.com. And I'm on Facebook, Larry Maddox. And there you go.
Well, again, thanks for writing a great episode. I really enjoyed it. And both times I've talked to you on the show here, I've really enjoyed that as well, both on tape and off. So thanks for doing that as well.
Thank you so much. It's such a joy to talk to you. And I'm really honored to be a part of this fantastic series, A Grifter Song.
All right. Thank you, Lawrence Maddox, for your take on the Down and Out, episode 16 of A Grifter Song. You should check out his other book, Fast Bang Booze. And next time you're watching a TV show or a movie, maybe see if his name pops up as the editor. You might be surprised. And as is the case with most of these authors of A Grifter Song, you can learn more about them where they tell you about. And I've interviewed almost every one of them for this podcast. So quick search will bring their name up and you can learn a lot more about each of them. And Lawrence Maddox is no exception. He's got some funny stories and some interesting insight. So check him out. Meanwhile, let's you and I move on to book 17. So we're pretty much at the halfway mark now of this retrospective series and through the series itself. Book 17 is Travel Money. By Jonathan Brown. Jonathan Brown is a very cool guy, multi-talented, has a fascinating background, and is just such an easy guy to be around. And he wrote Travel Money. Now, this is an interesting book for a variety of reasons. It is a real estate scam, and it's not the first time Sam and Rachel have been involved in that, and won't be the last by any stretch. But it is a unique take on a real estate scam. And it's based on something that he read about in the news. He'll tell you a little more about that. The other piece to this is that Jonathan introduces a character that I don't think I want to spoil just yet, but I will say it is a character that is added to the mythology due to this. Much like Asa Maria Bradley's Maya character, who is a computer hacker that sometimes Sam and Rachel rely on. This character that Jonathan introduces is pretty important to the finale. I don't want to say any more because of spoilers, but it's a well-done addition. And that's in the middle of a cleverly told story with well-drawn characters and a neat premise torn straight from a headline and just well written by Jonathan. I think you'll dig it, but I think I'll let him tell you more about this episode and about his experience writing Travel Money, book 17 of A Grifter Song. Here's Jonathan Brown.
Well, hey, Jonathan, the first thing I've been asking everybody is when you got the invitation to be part of A Grifter Song, what made you say yes?
Oh, well, the first thing was that you asked me. And the second thing is I did a shallow dive and saw the other authors who had written before me. And I thought, okay, the best way to get better is to surround yourself with people better than you. And I had the invitation, so I had to say yes. And was honored to be amongst this group of heavy hitters.
Well, what inspired you to write this story, or was this something that you had the makings of before even hearing about A Grifter Song?
The inspiration was, it was a challenge because I love grifter movies and books, but I don't think that way. I don't have that con mind, Your Honor. So I thought, I'm going to want to really get into, I'm going to love the research to actually peel back the layers of this onion and then actually come up with a good story. And the story itself was inspired by something that I saw in the news over in London.
Inspired by true events. That's awesome. You know, you've written your Lou Crasher series and some other things as well. Those were your own creations. Here you had to work within, you know, kind of a rule book or some guidelines. Mm-hmm. I guess since you're from Canada, you had to stay on side.
Yeah.
And how was that for you? Was that difficult? Did you enjoy it?
I loved having to paint within the lines. And then I came up with, right away I had this other character that I was really hoping that you would allow me to write a female badass sort of character. And I know I ran it by you, and you said, go for it. And then when you saw the first draft, you said, yeah, okay, she stays. So it was a perfect match.
Now, Sam and Rachel had a bit of a history before we got to your episode, mm-hmm. But you spent a lot of time with them. Was there anything that, about them that you in particular found interesting or really liked or maybe didn't like?
Yes. I think it was in your rule book that you said they're capable, but they're not superheroes when it comes to the physical violence. So the shortcut or the easy route for me would be to paint them in the corner and they beat the crap out of everybody. But it's like, no, Frank says you can't do that. And they're cons and they have the con mind. So they got to think their way out of the box. So I thought, I like that. This is what they call clever, or I get to attempt to be clever.
Was there a favorite moment in your story or something that after you wrote it, you kind of sat back and said, well, that was fun or that was pretty good?
Yeah, just when you said, this is good, I'm going to print it.
And you didn't say good enough. You said, this is good.
Was there a moment in the story, though, that you really got excited about?
Yeah, I think, I guess you'd call it the third act when it all, you know, grifters have a plan and it doesn't always go as planned. So when it came to that scene, that was my favorite part to write. And, I think I rewrote it many times to try to get it right.
This was a later episode in the series, so you had a chance to look at some of the earlier ones, and then it's been a while, mm-hmm. So there's been some since your episode, Travel Money. Have you read any of the other episodes, and if so, any of them jump out at you as personal favorites?
I read two before I started, and I could have read them all, but I didn't want to be too over-influenced, if that's a word. So I just wanted to get a flavor of it and then go. And then my intention has been to read everything that came after me. I just haven't got that yet, but I'm going to, for sure.
So this is coming to an end with episode 35. if you were handed the laptop and told, go ahead and end it how you'd like, how would you go about it?
Wow. Yeah, I think definitely some kind of, they make the big score, there's a shootout, they're injured, and leave the readers hanging as to whether they make it or not.
Ah, cliffhanger.
Yeah.
I mentioned your Lou Crasher novels. You've done some nonfiction as well. What's your most recent work, either out or coming out? And where can people find out more about you?
My most recent is the third in the Crasher series. It's Drums, Guns, and Money. And it...
a little Warren Zevon for you there.
Hey, you caught it. Yeah, exactly. And that just came out this year. A couple months ago. And what am I doing now? I got an outline for the next Crasher. I've got another Chloe coming out. There's a lot of things that have thick outlines, if you will.
And where can people find out more about that?
The best is Jonathan J. Brown at Facebook or Jonathan B. Books Instagram. Those are the two best. I have a website, but I'm building it and rebuilding it, and I'm not a great builder, so...
Well, you're a great storyteller.
Thank you.
Really enjoyed Travel Money. I appreciate you being part of a Grifter Song, and thanks for being part of this retrospective
as
well.
Thank you, Frank. It was an honor. Thank you.
All right. Thank you, Jonathan, for your thoughts on Travel Money. He told you about some of his other series, the Lou Crasher series, the Chloe series. You should check those out. For sure, but you should know he's multi-talented in other ways as well. He's written some nonfiction work in the realm of football. He's actually Canadian. He's from BC, lives down in LA. So he's pretty much got the entire West Coast wired. And you heard his voice, so you no doubt will understand why I actually used him as the narrator for one of my books. It's not a crime fiction book. It's called A Baker's Divorce. It's more of a heartwarming comedy, but for adults. A guy named Cal Baker, who's an aging rocker, been divorced 12 times, 13th wife tells him at the beginning of the book she wants a divorce, so that makes a baker's dozen of divorces for Cal Baker. Of course, Cal was a guy who had a hit in the 70s and has been just barely touching the charts since then, chasing trends, and is, like many musicians, very self-centered. Now, Jonathan is a drummer, and when I sent him this book and he read it, he laughed, he thought it was funny, and he told me flat out, I've known more than one Cal Baker. And so with his being a musician and so really understanding the characters really well and having a great voice, and he just performs it excellently. So, you know, not pitching my own work here, but I am proud of A Baker's Divorce, and especially the performance that Jonathan gave it. So you can check that out. Jonathan did a great job with that. When I talked to him on the phone, he's got travel money blown up to poster size, the cover hanging in the background. So like many of the authors and like myself, you know, really proud to have been part of this series. And he wrote a book worth being proud of. He definitely put his own stamp on it. So check out Travel Money and Jonathan Brown's other work. Like with many of these authors, there is an episode of Jonathan Brown on Wrong Place, Right Crime, where you get into more of his background and his other work. So you can learn more about him there, as well as where he sent you. But that just about wraps it up for this episode. Next episode, we will be going over books 18, 19, and 20. That's Rocky Mountain Lie by Michael Poole, Open Up Your Heart by Carmen Yaramillo, and Ride Like Hell by S.A. Cosby. So that's the next episode on Wrong Place, Right Crime, which, if you're listening to this in real time, will be tomorrow. Either way, we'll be continuing this celebration of a grifter song as we work our way towards the release of episode 35, Into the Dying Sun, the final episode of the series. Until then, this is Frank Zaffiro reminding you that sometimes you gotta be in the wrong place to write crime.